This is opinionated, and this is a continuation of my podcast series, The Truth About Addicts. As we covered in the first part, things that I want you to know, if in case you missed the beginning episodes, is that addicts are not non-humans. They're not bad people. They just do bad things. Well, if they're doing bad things, aren't they bad people? Well, no, that's not it. Because addicts are people that are typically under the influence of alcohol and drugs. I'm just going to say drugs, because when I say drugs, I mean alcohol too. Yeah, but I know a lot of people that do alcohol and drugs, and they don't do all that stuff, right? And there's two reasons for that. One, maybe it's the potency of the particular drug, you know? Like, there's a difference between smoking weed and doing heroin. But two, it's the type of person that's doing the drugs. You have to take that into consideration. There's certain people who just have a specific kind of constitution that makes them incapable of social drug use. They can't go out and have a couple beers with the crowd. Maybe they could once upon a time, but it's progressive. They get progressively worse, so they can't just have a couple beers. They got to get all the way lit. And by lit, I mean fights, drunk driving, sleeping with strangers. Don't remember any of it the next day. Drugs, got to steal to get more. It's having sex with people for money so you can get more. Selling all your stuff so you can get more. Tricking people out of their money, you know. Borrowing money from family, lying, stealing, not paying your bills to get more. And this is true typically. I mean, there's extents and degrees, you know. There's people who can, for the most part, hold it together, but it's still messy. It's not like what normal people look like. And then there's people that can hold it together for such long periods of time before they go messy. So don't look at the differences and be confused about the big picture. The big picture is that addicts are caught up in something way too powerful for them to handle. And as a result of the desperate nature of being caught up, they do things oftentimes that are pretty bad to the people they care about. So, now let's talk about how it happens. Well, there's three types of addict. There's three types of ways that these things present themselves. Now here's my disclaimer. I don't have a degree in what's going on with addicts. I'm not a psychologist or a sociologist, but I'm a guy with a brain and I'm trying to use it. So if you agree, go ahead and comment. And if you disagree, comment two times, but be respectful. So let's go right into it. How do people get caught up in drug addiction? Well, there's the people that have accidents at work. You know, you fall, you hurt your back. Oh God, the pain is debilitating. So you end up at the doctor's office and they prescribe you something. And what they prescribe you is highly addictive. So you're caught up. You can't stop taking these pills. And the pills are expensive. And now you can't afford them, but you're hooked on them. So you need them. And what are you going to do? Oh, yeah. There's street drugs that will give you the same effect, but they're way cheaper. This is how a lot of people get caught up on heroin. And once you get caught in the grips of that, it's really hard to get out of it. It's physically addictive, and it's just all bad. Okay? Wow, I didn't know normal people could get caught up. Yeah, they can. Then there's the people that follow the crowd, you know, everybody wants to fit in, and the crowd, they just happen to follow a crowd that's doing drugs, you know, little this, little that, next you know they're doing a little more, and this person just suddenly is doing something too strong for them to be able to handle, and so they can't get out, you know, can't just stop a habit. You can, but a lot of times you can't. Stop eating meat. Stop watching porn. Stop gambling. Lose weight. Stop spending all your money on shoes. People have addictions. And some addictions are so socially acceptable that we don't realize that, you know what, this thing is really got me. Stop drinking pop, smoking cigarettes, whatever it is you caught up in. How easy is it for you to stop? Well, imagine how much harder it is to stop doing a highly addictive drug. Okay, so then there's the third type of addict, and that's the one, the person that's walking around feeling uncomfortable in their own skin, feeling like wherever they are, they just probably wish they could be somewhere else. You know, an emptiness inside, like, I gotta do this, I gotta have that, I gotta do have sex with this person, there's always something that I need in order to feel whole. Now that's the worst kind, because that person has an emptiness inside them that drives them to seek fulfillment. Just like most humans, we just want to be fulfilled. But these people are starting at a disadvantage because they're not even starting from a place of wholeness. They're starting from a place of emptiness. Now that's the type of addict that I'm going to do a lot of focusing on in this podcast series, is the traditional person that has the disease of addiction. Okay, so that's the how it happens. And next is the how does it progress. Well, they start off a little bit and okay, that's fine, but why don't they get to the point where it's like, hey, this is getting a little bit out of hand, and so I think I just need to stop, right? I'm getting high a little more often than I thought I should be. I'm spending more money than I should be. Right in the early stages of getting out of control, they should stop, but they can't, because addiction by nature is an overpowering force, and the chemical dependency on the dependency on the chemicals in the drugs makes it an even stronger bond and a need. So just having an addiction is already bad enough, but when you having an addiction to something that's highly addictive, that's the double whammy. That's like being put in a straitjacket and dunked underwater. How you gonna stop drowning? Okay. And when people try to quit, there's a couple of obstacles that they face. Because yeah, just say no, right? It's gonna be hard. But there's more to it than that. Withdrawals are painful. In some instances, some addictions to some chemical dependencies lead to painful withdrawals, and some are even dangerous. If you're a serious alcoholic and you just cold turkey stop drinking, you could die. So going through the withdrawal process oftentimes requires help, you know, and professional supervision, which a lot of people don't get. Especially in a society that teaches us to just reject the fact that we don't have a problem. We don't want to be the junkie or the alky. So we, even if we do realize that we are that, we don't want to be that. So finding help, it's just not the easiest thing in the world to do. Additionally, with the serious type of addict, with the addict who has the void, when they get off drugs, now that void is back empty again. So, even though they were living grimy and crusty, on the flip side of it, that emptiness was being filled. That's what makes it almost like a love-hate affair, you know? You hate what you gotta do, and you hate the places that it makes you go, but you love the fact that you're feeling complete and whole. That's why a lot of people never let go. Okay. And then there's the environmental factors. If you should happen to get free, then you got the people. Who do you know? Everybody you know comes from this lifestyle. Most of the people you know, your so-called friends, they were right along with you in the junkie land. And you hang out with them long enough and you'll be right back doing what you was doing. Everywhere you go, the places you like to hang out are the places that are associated with that life of using drugs and being caught up. And if you hang out in the barbershop long enough, you're gonna end up getting a haircut. So they fall off in that respect. And just the unfamiliarity, you lose the familiarity with living life without drugs. So everything's really uncomfortable. You got the emptiness inside of you begging to be filled, screaming in pain. And then everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, everything you do reminds you that the comfort is waiting there for you. Come on back home, baby. People fall off. Quitting is one of the hardest things that an addict will ever do. Staying quit is going to be even harder than that. Now, let's talk about the challenge. This section is what I call the addict's challenge by type. Well, the accidental addict, the one that had an accident in his job, and the follower addict, they have a greater chance to go to rehab or by some other means interrupt the drug addiction cycle and then just walk away, because they can go back to ground zero, which is a whole place. But the true addict, they face a rougher road because they don't know any other way. Their associates and places, the places they go, their constant reminders and temptations of a life that on the one hand was awful, but on the other hand, it fulfilled them. Withdrawal lasts for months. And the reason I bring this up is because physically the withdrawal can last for days. But mentally, something in your mind is calling you back, sometimes daily, for months. And it's hard, especially when you add the stresses of day-to-day living. Here you are, you're trying to hold on. Everybody you know is still getting high. That's attractive to you. Everywhere you go, hey, I used to get high there. All this stuff is tempting you. And then you lose your job. Now you got the stress and you don't have a lot of tolerance for stress. Your tolerance and stress meter is already dangerously high at all times as you go through this process. And then here comes just another pebble and it tips the scales, and there you go, back into the hole, back into the comfort that you once knew. This might sound confusing to you, but trust me, I'm just trying to get you to understand something that you may not have understood. And then, like I said, the relief from the awful void pulls you back into the hole. You know, it's like here we are in this void space and with this stress and this discomfort, because I'm out of my comfort zone, and the emptiness is just driving you nuts like it was doing before you started using. And there's a voice in your mind whispering, come on home, baby, I got you, like an old girlfriend telling you we're gonna work it out this time. It's truly, truly challenging. Now, before I go, I just want to give you a little tidbit of what you can look forward to in the next episode of this series. We're going to talk about what is the solution. How do addicts obtain long-term recovery? There's some ways and means. Then why does this even matter? Because we're talking about our loved ones. We're talking about people that we care about. We may be talking about you. But as a one world family, we got to care about our brothers and sisters, and we got to help when we can. We think we're helping when we say stop using, stupid ass, or lock them all up, but is that really helping? If you want to help, be effective. And also, these truths, some of the ways that addicts obtain long-term recovery, are universal truths that can help normal people as well. So prepare to be enlightened. Stay tuned.